we turn the theme down, if you don't mind. Here we are. This is show number what, Donald Patterson?
I mean,
Donald
Trump.
210 today.
So we've done 10 shows since our break in the summertime, right?
Yeah.
10. My goodness gracious, that's a lot of shows.
It's amazing. It
sure is.
210.
Yep.
Why would anybody want to listen? I guess we've said that a number of times before.
That's true.
How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm just kind of sitting here with an irregular heart rate, and that's about it.
I thought the doctor was going to fix all that for you.
But, well, I'm going back tomorrow.
Yeah?
And I don't know if he's going to change medication or put me in, put a pacemaker in, or what he's going to do, but we'll find out.
Could I suggest perhaps you should check in with the blind handyman? They could probably take care of it as quick as he's doing.
Take a hammer and a saw, and I bet that would fix it.
That we could do
I've got a nail gun.
I didn't hear Don Shaw. Is he there?
I'm here, Thomas.
Oh, I'm sorry to say, my goodness, if Don Shaw wasn't there, it would be...
I'm just listening.
Put on the calendar.
I'm just listening to all this stuff about your doc's appointment tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
All that good stuff.
Well, all right. You doing okay?
Say again?
You're doing all right then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Kicking along.
All right. Well, great, great.
Well, ask me how I'm doing.
Well, how are you doing, Mr. Parr?
Well, not that good. No, actually, I'm doing fine.
How could I help you?
It depends on who you ask. You need either one of us to go to the doctor with you?
Well, no, you can if you want to.
No, I don't want to. I want to avoid
that. Down there about 2:30.
Hell, if he took one of us, we'd probably be in worse shape than him.
Well, this is our last show for a couple of weeks. We're going on our little fall vacation next trip.
Oh, is that right?
Leaving next.
Going?
We're going to up to pick up the Cummings in Boston. Then we're going up to Barrie, Vermont for a few days.
Barrie, Vermont. Yep. This is the time of the year
this
to go to Vermont.
That's what they say. We're taking Giovanna with us so she can ooh and ah over the leaves.
Giovanna's going?
Giovanna's going with us.
Oh, she'll love it.
Yes, she will. And Duane and we'll pick up the Cummings. And we're going up there, and we're going to do that. And then we're going to go to Ohio and see a couple of my aunts that are 90 years old. And then we're coming, going to Pittsburgh and see Dan Rossi and Teresa and Boop.
Dan Rossi? Hey, Boop, all right.
Go see Boop and Tom. They're going to meet us in Pittsburgh. And then we're coming home. And so anyway, we're going to miss 2 weeks. So it'll be, you'll have 2 weeks to recover.
Well, good.
And then maybe 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, you can come and be here live.
Well, I tell you, I'd love it. I'll do my best, okay?
You do your best. That's all we can ask of a guy. It's all John Kennedy asking. That's all we can ask.
There you go.
You do your best. Bless your heart. We'll talk to you today or two, sir.
Okay, buddy.
I'll talk to you before I leave.
All right. See you.
Bye.
Have later, Thomas.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Houston Vic from Burke.
Burke, Texas.
I think he's the unofficial mayor of Burke, actually.
I think if he isn't, he should be.
That's
right. Listen, is the air conditioner running?
How would I know?
See, you can't even hear it.
Can't even hear it.
Listen, be quiet. Isn't that amazing? How does he do that?
Yeah, you couldn't tell it by the blind handyman show.
You couldn't tell it was running by the blind handyman show that we even had an air conditioner. We don't. Maybe it's out and I don't know it.
Could be.
Yeah, because it's not running in here either.
Well, a handyman project there.
There would be. Speaking of handyman projects, here's Don Patterson with some list mail.
Yeah, the mailbag runneth over, as they say it. We have more email than we can deal with, probably. And... some of them, I might add, might be trick questions.
Oh.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, that's right. All right, here's the first one. And I never thought about this. However, I've seen situations where this would be applicable. It says, what can be done to tighten the seats on wicker chairs?
Good question. Pour water on them.
Outside of getting those who sit in them to lose weight, I haven't a clue.
Tighten the seat on wicker.
Yeah, wicker furniture.
Hose it down with the water hose, maybe.
Well, that's close. Right. Those are both good suggestions and close, except there's a little additive. There was one answer.
All right. Who is it from? So we'll know who the smart guy is.
There's no name attached to the answer.
Really?
That's right. Obviously, he's not on our list then.
Oh.
Perhaps.
Probably so.
Probably not. Anyway, it says mix up a solution of equal parts of white vinegar and water. Dampen the seat with this and place the chair in direct sunlight.
And
this should cause the wicker to shrink and tighten the seat. It says you may need to do it several times, but in most cases it seems to work. So
you just pour this solution on there.
Yep.
And it tightens up the
tightens up. And I'm going to keep this in mind because we have several. That seems to be Emily's first love as far as outdoor furniture comes. Of course, what he doesn't tell me in here is what do you do about wicker furniture that the dogs have eaten through.
A different ball game right
white,
there.
White vinegar and water.
Equal parts. It talks of like spread it on there maybe, you know, not don't just submerge it, but dampen it on there and put it out in the direct sun. And
so our little water idea, Shaw, wasn't that bad.
No, I don't think y'all were far off, and probably it would probably work just as good.
I'll have to try that. I don't have any. Well, let's see. Maybe I have one or two outdoor chairs. We sprung for the big bucks a year or so ago and bought a real table, and it is really nice. It's like it's not a marble top, but it looks like marble. And it was expensive, about $800, and
right.
Six chairs to go with it.
And metal chairs?
They're metal chairs, with but they have...
The cushions.
No, they don't have cushions. I didn't want cushions, because I always forget to take them in, and then you end up with a wet... Put the cushions in the dryer, Irving.
Yeah, you know, and the dogs chew on those.
The dogs chew on them. These chairs are like cane, except they're fake cane chairs, you know?
Right, right.
And so, you know, I think this will be the last set we'll have to buy. I hope so. Anyway.
The kids gave us a round metal table with the metal chairs.
Yeah.
Because we had, and so now we, because we've bought the little aluminum chair, not with the braided, seat and back, but with the solid, but it's still cloth. And eventually, you know, while the aluminum lasts forever, the cloth tends to deteriorate.
When we first moved here, Luann insisted that everything in the house be wood. Because it's a wood house. It's a cedar house.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of money on paneling. I mean, my paper towel rack is wooden.
Right. Absolutely.
So everything had to be wood. So the picnic table had to be wood. Well, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Right.
You know, I don't care how redwood it is. It's going to go in 8 or 10 years. And so...
I grew up in a house that, talking about wood, and it was a frame house. It wasn't a cedar house, but my mother was an early American furniture person, and you haven't lived until you have. I hate it to this day. I hate early American furniture. Everything we had, everything we owned
was early American.
Early American. Okay.
I don't know what that means, even.
Well, it's a design. I mean, it's just the way.
My first wife was early American. All right, Phil. I've been reading too many Spencer books. You know, Spencer's based in Boston, and his office is on Tremont Street, so you got to read Spencer books before you go to Boston. Anyway.
Yeah. That's true. Okay.
Go ahead.
Y'all are divorced, aren't you, your first wife? You won't be hearing from her on this.
I hope not. I mean, I hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
She's been over in Africa teaching the natives how to fight dirty.
Yeah, right.
All right, go ahead.
All right, we need some canned laughter here if you're going to waste all this.
I like Jim with the time machine on those other shows.
Yeah, right. All right, it says vinyl floor tiles are a pretty easy do-it-yourself project.
Yeah.
How about those big sheets of flooring? And we've gotten into this, I think, Don. Did y'all not do a linoleum?
Yeah, I've done a couple of
procedure. Anyway,
with big sheets?
With just the regular, the full sheet?
Yeah, the
room
roll.
Size?
Yeah, the roll of vinyl. Room size.
How did it work? Did it work out okay?
It's kind of blind friendly, sort of, once you kind of get it situated and centered, but it's just, boy, it's a nervy thing to do, cutting it. You know, making the fold up by the side of the wall and then cutting it with a razor knife. It's just... one slip,
and see,
and you can screw up your whole roll of vinyl.
Well, you did it like the pros do. You know, that's the way they do it. But here's actually the answer or an answer to that question or suggestion. It says, let me find my answer here. They both can be easy, the individual tiles or the big sheets. It says Armstrong has a kit which you tape many sheets together to make a perfect pattern of your floor thing. In other words, you're making a template. And it seems like I've used this one time doing someplace where they just have several, like if your room is totally square, it's easy. I mean, but you still have to tape these sheets together, and you just lay it inside your baseboards or wherever you're going up to. And anyway, and then you lay this on top of your vinyl sheet and cut it, and it's almost a perfect fit every time if you...
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like an easier way to do it.
Yeah, so...
Because it would be easier to cut along if you put that on top for a template. It sure would be easier cutting along that and using it for an edge.
Yeah,
well, in other words, they give you a template for the size of your room or what?
Yeah, they give you many sheets, just several different sizes of, I guess, like cardboard-like or paint, and you tape them together. You lay them down in your floor, the floor that you're going to do, until you come up with the right dimensions.
Okay.
And then tape them together. Tape all these sheets together where you have one solid thing, and then you take that and lay that on your vinyl flooring that you've purchased.
And you know what where to, okay.
And cut down the edges.
Makes sense to me. It wouldn't help a blind guy much, but.
Well, you know, actually, he could probably feel the edge of his, yeah. I mean, if he had to do this, he could probably feel the edge of his template versus the,
I guess that's true.
Had the vinyl, unlike where Don Shaw was, where he's probably using a linoleum knife. Maybe yeah. against that, you out here in the wide open spaces, you could probably use some good scissors, good heavy scissors. And if you taped your template to your, especially to the floor you had, I think a blind guy.
You think it'd be easier for a blind guy?
Yeah. I think it would be better than nothing.
Yeah, better than nothing.
Back to my first wife again. But listen, how do you get these opportunities? Donna Parks used to say, I give you so many opportunities to go to lines. Anyway, go ahead.
She said, what?
I don't know. I'd crack wise, and she'd say, well, you only did that because I gave you the opportunity.
Oh.
You know.
Okay. Always wanted to be a straight guy.
Well, you are.
Straight
you do
man.
Well.
The straight man. Yeah. Let's see. Okay.
Finding that next question. Yeah.
All right. Then this may apply. I don't know if your table out there is synthetic marble or slate. It's not slate, I guess. But anyway, it says... It says, I have a slate tabletop that has a stain on it. I set a pot plant down on it, and it left a white ring where the pot was. I can't get rid of the stain. What would you suggest?
Well, I don't know. Same thing last week. Good heavy cleaner
of
some
kind. That was on concrete which is porous. I'm real cautious about synthetic marble and or real marble, and I don't know much about slate. Seems like that kind of got to be fashionable. Well, floors and then countertops, yeah. too, I think, that people like to make. But remember, this stuff is porous. One time I had this, and it was, I think, genuine marble. And I spilt, of all things, some shoe polish. Just I was polishing some shoes or
not
putting with the liquid in it. I never got it. I wound up actually damaging the tabletop. It got in the pores of that whatever material that was made out of. But anyway,
disaster.
Yeah, it.
Man.
And it says that this. Anyway, there's one solution here. If y'all.
Yeah.
But y'all get another chance if y'all would like.
I don't have any idea. I just don't know.
It says the stain is probably due to mineral deposits in the water leaking through the pot.
Yeah.
I would say that was it. It says try rubbing it with a little warm vinegar. This guy's on a vinegar kick. On a rag and see if that works.
Is it the same guy?
No, I have no idea.
I wouldn't think so, would you?
No. And it says, if not, we've seen scratches taken from slate floors with a powdered abrasive. We've also seen spots hidden by a very thin coating of pure oil furniture polish. Pure oil, I think, is the option. It says, wipe it on and then remove all the excess. This treatment gives slate a new shine, too. And so
if it is minerals and stuff from the plants, maybe the county agent would have, the horticulture guy or plant guy would have some idea better of how to remove that. What do you think? No?
He may. I mean, I don't know if knowing what they were, knowing that they were mineral deposits would, I have no idea. I think it's the pores in the slate, if there are any, and so... Like the guy said, they had good results with this oil on floors. God, and I can't think of a harder treatment surface-wise than a floor, walked on and everything. So he said they've had good results.
Well,
so you people with slate tables.
Give us a hint. Well, right. I don't want to belabor this point, but a lady I was married to one time cleaned the counter. She was an old-fashioned kind of a... She cleaned the counter with the Formica with Dutch cleanser. And it, from then on, it was always just rough as hell. it just screwed up the surface.
It's like it screwed up the surface.
Oh, it did something to the surface,
Wow.
Oh, man. I couldn't believe she'd...
So it changed the texture,
It changed the entire texture of the thing. So don't... Old Dutch cleanser. Remember Bon Ami cleanser. Old Dutch cleanser.
Well, you know, we've changed our habits and the way we do use cleaners, especially because of the pollution thing and the going green, and then also because of the product, the synthetic products that we use, like, you know, Dutch cleanser and your new fiberglass jacuzzi tub are definitely at odds.
You just don't do that.
Yeah. And you have all these soft, well, like the L.A., totally awesome cleaner. Awesome. That's what you need.
L.A. cleaner.
Yep. Well, of course, that stuff's going to end up in the drinking water, you know, if you use it or no matter who uses it.
And well, you know, I can't see. It's hard for me to believe that something that wouldn't hurt you physically could take off the stain from the, you know, from the slate. So, Will, I guess that all remains to be seen.
You know where I'd go? I might go to a paint store. They probably, because they know from removing paint and removing things.
Yeah, they may have some good ideas.
Now, that's perceptive of you, because that sort of fits into our next one. I mean, just right. in the way, the first of all, this is one of those I can't believe.
I'm a perceptive boy.
I noticed that. But we always gave you credit for that until we met your first wife.
That's right.
Nancy.
That's right.
All right, here we go. It says, this is one of these, I can't believe he's going to do this. And it says, our home has aluminum window frames. I would like to paint them. I'm going, why? But anyway, it says, what type of paint should I use and what prep work is needed?
Well, don't do this. Why?
Yeah, I mean, aluminum, like, it'll outlast you, unless they're just so gnarly or gotten paint on them from some other time.
Or rusty, and if they are, you can just remove that rust.
Well, I mean, I don't know if the aluminum would even rust.
Doesn't rust, does it?
No. I mean, I guess maybe these are the, you know, a lot of the aluminum windows, the newer ones now are color, you can get white or you can get them painted. Maybe these are the aluminum color, the silver, and he wants to hide it. Anyway, Don, do you know?
I don't. I haven't really heard exactly of doing that. So
I don't either. Know. Never heard of painting aluminum.
Well, anyway, there is one answer here. It's probably the same guy that recommended vinegar. He says take white vinegar. No, he actually says usually you need to scuff and sand the surface as aluminum is shiny and slick.
That's true.
And it doesn't give the paint much to hold on to. You don't state whether you're going to paint inside or outside. So, really, he recommends that you go to a paint dealer, and get him to recommend the proper paint. It would be something different inside and out.
That's what I'd do.
I got a feeling they're going to point you to some kind of oil. I see this being a messy product, and you're going to get paint in the tracks, and the windows are going to stick.
But the guy's going to ask you the same question we ask you. Why do you want to do this?
I wouldn't do
this. This obviously didn't come from the blind list. Blind guys don't paint aluminum windows.
Oh, I would have figured it did. I figured they were one of the first to try it.
Try it, painting aluminum windows. All right, I guess we'll take a little break and come back and do more of the Blind Handyman Show, our last show number 10 after the summer break. And Don Shaw is in the building. Don Patterson's been reading email for us. And I'm Phil Parr, and we do what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I say, we're on cue.
Stumbling around and hoping for the best. I can go turn the air conditioner up. Let's pause here just a minute and get the guest, all right?
All right.
Night crawlers out there. It's late night Phil here. Late night radio show. I remember the great pickup line here in Lufkin is, oh, babe, don't worry about it. They don't want nobody come down this road this time of night.
What a difference.
All right, anyway.
Whoa.
Playing around and fooling around. RJ, how are you, sir?
Not too awful bad.
Not too bad. Well, that's that's kind of the way we are.
Good.
What, do you have a last name, or do you not want to give it? Maybe in the witness protection program? Or?
It's no big deal. The last name Fugale.
Well, maybe that's why you didn't tell us, because we'll do it again.
I couldn't pronounce it.
Fugale?
You're right.
How about that, huh? Well, it's good to have you. Where's home? Where are you?
Well, I'm up here in the just south of Erie, Pennsylvania, right next to Lake Erie.
Is that right? Well, the weather has already begun to turn cool there, hasn't it, I bet?
Believe it or not, we had excellent weather for the last 3 weeks. I've never seen it like this. Weather in the 70s and 80s.
Man.
Well, you can't beat the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, for sure.
What would y'all normally be having, RJ?
Well, we'd be dropping down in the frost area.
Goodness, it happens early, huh?
Yeah.
Global warming.
Well, so the leaves are falling or coming down a little late this year, you think, or what?
No, the leaves are coming down and they're turning colors just about the same time, so I'm being told.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to see them. What is your, you don't have any vision at all?
I have what they call an unusable vision.
Yeah.
Words, I can see windows and doors if the lights are there, high contrast, but recognizing or knowing what's in front of me, I have no idea.
It's just no idea, huh?
Right.
Well, I'm totally blind, and we got Don Shaw here, sees a little bit. Don Patterson has got pretty good partial vision, as a matter of fact. I'd ride with him if we need to go somewhere, you know?
Not anymore, probably. I think the left eye is finally going south. You know, we always had this discussion, if you were blind and then you got 65, do you get blinder? You know, does old age affect you?
Yeah,
and
that's
I think that's my problem.
You think you're getting blinder?
Yeah, yeah. Old age has set in.
Old age is creeping up on you.
Old age has set in on me, too. I am hitting the 70s already.
Is that right? 70 what? 70...
Just 70, right on the button.
70
right
on the button.
Well, you sound pretty chipper,
yeah,
RJ.
Yeah.
I just turned 65, what, Saturday, Phil?
Yeah.
Last Saturday? When? The 15th?
15th. I'm fixed to be 67, so we all about the same range. How did you lose your... Have you been blind all your life?
I had retinitis pigmentosus.
Yeah.
RP.
And that took them out, didn't it?
That took them out gradually, and... At 29, I would consider legally blind. At 51, I admitted I was legally blind.
There you go.
I know I'm legal. I'm blind.
But you drove that car a lot when you really didn't have any business driving it.
Yes, and I just wondered why I ever did such a thing looking back on it.
Well, yeah, you can look back, and hindsight is, as they say, 20/20. If you even
right.
if you even if your vision isn't.
That's right.
What did you do for a living all those years when you acted like you could see good?
Well, I had a bunch of rentals that I had, and I also worked in a steel mill. And believe it or not, until I come to my senses, I even operated crane in the steel mill.
Whoa.
And one day I come down, I said to the foreman, I said, this is enough of this. I'm not going back up there again.
I really don't have the sight to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes admitting that is a pretty hard thing. We talked to Don's wife's a VI teacher, and she was telling us about a little girl that she can't hardly, she can barely see. She's in high school, but of course she doesn't want to admit she can't see because her buds and... Your friends wouldn't.
We all go through that.
Yeah, I guess we do. All right, understand that you had quite an experience with a water softener. If you wanted, will you tell us about that? You've got the floor.
Okay, let's start from the very beginning. About 4 years ago, I bought a water softening system, which also had a blending tank to it. And a blending tank is where a pump will inject bleach into this tank, and of course the water mixes in with it, and then it goes throughout the system to the softener and into the house.
Yeah.
Well, the blending tank got a leak in it. So I called the national chain that I bought it, and I told them I had a leak, and of course they told me that I had to have the original receipt or they couldn't do anything about it.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, that started the ball a-rolling.
Yeah.
And I finally was told to call service, and they did have the information, but the girl told me that the tank was no longer under guarantee because there's only a 5-year guarantee on it, and I bought the tank in 03.
All right.
And I basically told her, I said, if you subtract 3 from 7, doesn't that give you 4, or do we count 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, 6, 7, 8, and of course then she transferred. To somebody else.
But I don't blame her. You're kind of a smart mouth there, weren't
That's
you?
That's how it works.
I wasn't smart mouth.
I love it.
Just trying to figure the new math out.
Well, there is that.
That's pretty good.
But anyhow, I got somebody that said that they were going to send a technician over, and of course, the technician would cost $65. And I told that young person, I said, I don't think so. No, she said you can argue that with the technician. So about 5 days later, the technician comes in, and guess what?
What?
He found out the tank was leaking.
Oh, you're kidding.
No kidding.
No, he actually said that tank was leaking.
Hmm.
So he says, of course, we will give you the tank, but you'll have to install it. And I said, no, I said, not according to the information I have upstairs. I had all the booklets.
Yeah.
So no more was said, so he came up there, read it, found out the guarantee, said that they would install the tank free of charge.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I'll have the tank here within a week. Within 5-6 days, the tank did come. Of course, came late. And, of course, I had to sit around here waiting for the delivery man. But it did come.
Yeah.
But he gave me a work order that told me the cost of the tank, the cost of the labor, and also the call to store. And also there would be no service charge of the $65.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the store and said they were supposed to have this certain plumber come out. And the store said, we don't do that.
We don't do that?
We don't do that.
What do they mean they didn't do that? How were they going to install it?
I have no idea. You'll have to call the 1-800-SERVICE, which I did. Of course, they told me they don't make plumber appointments.
Okay. Man.
All right.
So back to the store again.
Okay.
Well, the store turned around, and believe it or not, they still told me they didn't do it, but they'd see what they could do. I got a call from them, so I had to call service. Well, the service says, okay, we'll have somebody come out. So I waited 4 days, and I get a telephone call, and it's from a tech nation. Not a plumber. But he said, I think there's some mix-up. He said, don't you want a blending tank installed? And I said, yep. He said, I don't do that. He said, I service them. By the way, what is a blending tank?
Oh, man.
Man. Yeah, what a service guy he was.
Well, anyway, he told me, he says, you call the store, and they'll send the plumber out. I said, you call the store and have them send the plumber out. So I get a call from the manager. He says, our plumber only installs hot water tanks. He doesn't install blending tanks.
And by the way, what is a blending tank? He said.
No, believe it or not, this gentleman, I think, knew what a blending tank was.
Okay.
I think.
Uh-huh.
He's the head of the plumbing department in this national chain.
All right.
So anyway, it went back and forth, and I finally called the plumber because the name of the plumber was listed right on the work order. Of course, he told me the same thing he told the store. I'm sorry. He said, all I install is hot water tanks. I don't install Sears blending. I mean, the national chain.
You said Sears. I heard it.
Well, shame on me.
That's all right. It's fine. We don't mind a bit.
We
don't like Sears either. I don't sell Sears blending tanks. Install them.
That's right.
You weren't going to do that, were you?
No.
What a guy. What a nice guy.
It's okay. They want to sue anybody. My wife's a lawyer. I don't care.
But But anyway, to make a long story short, the guy tells me I don't install hot water tanks. I mean, I install hot water tanks, but I don't install blending tanks.
Right.
So I called Sears back, and the guy says to me, I said it once, might as well say it a dozen times. He turned
around. Might as well.
He said to me, he says, look, he said, to solve this problem, he said, you got the tank, go ahead and install it. And I said, no, not in your lifetime unless you're willing to pay me. He said, are you a registered plumber? And I said, no, I was a slumlord for 40 years. Does that count for it? So to make a long story short.
Don't bother. Go ahead.
Well, I'm making it long, but I'm making it short.
Yes, you can
but
make it long as you want to.
That was the end of him. And I said, I don't care what you do. So he called me back, and he says, you hire the plumber, and we'll pay you up to $156. I said, no, not in your lifetime. You hire the plumber and have him come out or pay me for installing the tank. Well, he couldn't get anybody to install the tank, so he called his 1-800 service, and they told him that they would pay me $100 labor, which I requested, plus parts.
Uh-huh.
So I installed the tank.
You ended up doing it yourself.
Right.
And got Sears to pay you.
$150 to be exact.
All right. Now, Mike, how big a tank are we talking about?
48 gallons.
Which measures, 2 feet, about 2 feet by 2 feet or what?
No, just by... Did you ever see a acetylene tank?
Yes. Yes.
It's about as big around as a acetylene tank and probably about 5'4", 5'3" high, just around 5.5.
Actually, the resemblance or comparison to a hot water heater is not that far off, right? I mean,
no, a hot water heater is quite a bit bigger around.
Yeah, okay. Bigger around. This is skinnier, but it's as tall as.
Yes, it's tall as. About the same height as, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of a 40-gallon electric hot water tank.
Okay.
The real long, skinny ones that they used to have.
Yeah.
What did this have, a valve? It had and a connection at each end, or what?
Well, what it has is it has an inlet and it has an outlet.
Yeah.
And it also has a draining valve. And what you do is when you install it is that you put a T in the line and you bring a quarter-inch flexible tube and connect it into that T. When the pump kicks on in the house, in the well, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
I have that connected to 110 side of the pump, and when that kicks on, it kicks on the bleach injector that goes into this T, and when the water comes into the house, it goes into the blending tank, and the blending tank mixes the bleach and the water together, and that way you're not getting a mouthful of bleach. Then it goes through two filters and then into the softener and back up into the house.
So what you're doing is chlorinating your own water.
Right.
All right. I have, RJ, I lived in a place in Texas where we had large iron ore. Is that the problem with y'all's water?
That's the problem.
Okay, yeah. It turns your white clothes yellow in the washing machine and stains the commode and the bathtub.
Right.
We didn't have to go to that excess. I had to have an aerated, I had to pump my water out of a well with air compressor. You know, we used air. We didn't chlorinate. We had a holding tank that sat on the ground. I guess just like a settling tank. We pumped the water from the well into this tank and then used the water from the tank as opposed to pumping it out of the well. But anyway, that I kind of thought I might recognize the problem here.
That's the problem. It's ironized water, and we're full of it here by Lake Erie. And this injection solves all that problem.
So what kind of, what form do you put the chlorine bleach in, liquid or tablets or?
All you do is just go down to the store and buy regular bleach and you stick in 1 gallon of bleach to 1 gallon of water.
Goodness gracious.
Whoa, that's a lot of bleach, isn't it?
Not when the injection pump is sticking it into the system. It's just very, very little bleach going into the system.
So roughly how long, like when you put, obviously you have a holding tank for the bleach too, so when you put in a gallon, how many gallons a month you use, say, then?
Oh, I make you bet. I put 10 gallons, well, 5 gallons of bleach, 5 gallons of water into this tank, and I make you bet it lasts me 6 months.
Oh, that's not. That's
oh,
not.
Well, yeah. Oh,
okay.
You
so
can't
just,
beat that.
You're
then.
Just mixing the bleach and the water together there.
Correct.
And then
all
the
that holding tank is it's just a you're just mixing the bleach in, and then the pump injects it into the system.
Okay.
All right.
There's
so,
a little wee injection pump there, and it, I make you bet it probably just squirts out a couple drops every time the pump kicks on.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We were,
all right.
We
that
were thinking, my God, that's worse than, of course, the dogs drink out of the swimming pool all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to bother them, you know, and it's highly heavy chlorine.
Oh, yeah. It's got heavy chlorine in it.
Yeah.
So.
Of course, you have an adjustment there, which I can't see naturally, but. It all depends on your system. I have mine set on 1, which is the lowest setting there is, and I think it goes up to 8.
And do the sighted people around your house say that solved the problem of turning clothes funny colors?
Well, with my wife, if it turned them red, she'd be letting me know, so I would imagine it solved the problem.
So this is something, though, that every neighbor, everyone would have to have, or...
Let's say some neighbors have it and some neighbors don't, but the ones that don't have it wind up with white coming colored clothes.
Right. All right. Well, let me ask you this. Like if
you can tell them when they're walking down the street.
Yeah.
All right. Being a former slumlord, as you described yourself, is this required? Like if you owned an apartment unit, would you be required by law? Are there city ordinances making people do this, or strictly up to you?
It's strictly up to you. I live not in the city, but I live in a township that's not quite as strict as what the municipality of Erie is.
Right.
Yeah.
To give you an example, in Erie, PA, you're not allowed to use PVC pipe.
Really?
Wow. Why is that? Because it water won't... water.
I'll tell you what my opinion is, and I had the same problem with the other town that I lived in, Franklin, Pennsylvania, way back in 1976. They were trying to make it so the plumbers were the only ones that allowed to do anything.
You're using copper pipe? Or?
Yeah, copper
pipe. So they could braise it?
You sweat the pipe, and it's easy to sweat a piece of copper pipe if you have the eyesight. All you're doing is heating the outside of the pipe. Of course,
yeah.
You put your flex in, and then you touch it with the solder, and if it's starting to melt, then you just let it wrap, and as soon as it drops one drop of solder, then you take the torch away, and it's done.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But the reason I think the city of Erie is, it's a way to protect their registered plumbers.
It sounds reasonable to me, yeah.
Because if you would even take a look at this blending tank I have, it's made out of fiberglass, okay?
Yeah.
The pipe going into this tank is PVC.
Yeah.
So if you're going to allow...
1 inch.
Anybody to sell such a tank and install it inside the city of Erie.
Yeah.
Does that give you a hint of what's going on there?
Yeah. No, but yeah. Is 1 inch or 2 feet of PVC as bad as, yeah, you know, if it's got one PVC connection, then what's the point?
This tank, you install this thing yourself, and what do you put, little pipe dope around to keep it from leaking, or how'd you do that?
Okay, there's two different things. I did put PVC in to connect up my water system.
Oh, yeah, I would.
I installed it way back in '03.
Yeah.
Of course, I have a pair of those snippers for plastic pipe up to 1 inch.
Yeah, it'll just just cut it right off smooth.
Yeah, you just set it where you want to and just cut it off. The reason I bought it is because it's very hard for me to measure, and it's so much easier just take a piece of string and whack it where I want it.
Exactly. Yeah, really. I love those snippers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. And so when I installed the blending tank to make my life easy, I didn't install it with the PVC rigid pipe. What I did is I bought 175 PSI plastic tubing, fiberglass plastic tubing, I guess it's called. It's a... See, here, my pressure is only 60 pounds, so I figured if I buy 175 pounds...
My God, that'd be plenty.
$1.60 a foot.
Oh, that's pretty high. But it's flexible hose.
It's flexible hose, and it's so much easier to connect together.
Yeah,
I bet.
So all I had to do was just put on four male fittings of what I cut off.
Uh-huh.
And I went and bought the, I don't even know what they call them, but they're the type that you push down into the tubing. They have these ridges on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if
they
I've ever seen
them. I've talked about those on the list before, and I cannot come
I'll
up with the name
about,
of that right now.
They call them grabber or something. I can tell you a story about those, too.
Well, be my guest. I'll listen.
Oh, no. I mean, go ahead. You used them, and then actually...
Well, anyway, then you stick a hose clamp on them and just tighten them down.
Right.
And that stops the hose from leaking.
Yeah.
Then you just connect that onto your male fittings. Then I got another connection that's made out of brass that you go at the other end, and all you do is just screw that onto the tubing like in, with Teflon tape.
Uh-huh.
Then there's a washer in there just like a hose connection.
Uh-huh.
Just stick it on the other male fitting, just tighten it up, and you're done.
What do you think caused the first tank to leak? Is it fiberglass also?
It was fiberglass, but I have no idea. I do know by installing so many hot water tanks over the years that some of them go bad within a year and some of them last 10 years, and I've never been able to figure that out neither.
Yeah, that's...
If they warrantied yours for 5 years, obviously they expected it to last that long or longer.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Or they wouldn't have. So you have no idea? Couldn't have been an animal? It couldn't have been... It didn't rub against anything? It just leaked?
It just leaked. It just formed a leak. Sitting on a concrete floor inside of my basement, so I don't think any animal could ever get
it. No animal got it. It just leaked. So...
And the leak was so fine. It was just like a pinhole leak. It'd take almost 2 days to actually have enough water down there that it, you had to mop it up with a towel or something.
Yeah. So you didn't throw that tank away. You put it, it's stuck somewhere, right?
Right.
Because you never know. One never knows.
Yeah, when you got to do a patch.
Well, that's an interesting little old story. Do you have a computer? Have you heard the show?
I have heard it in the past, but it's been a while.
Well, you might listen this weekend. You'll be on it.
Yep.
I might just do that.
Hey, RJ, I had one question. How far as the crow flies are you from Buffalo, New York?
90 miles.
All right, 'cause they're on Lake Erie, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're getting almost out of Pennsylvania, aren't you?
I'm probably 25 miles before I hit the New York border.
All right.
Getting up close to Lee Stone country.
Yeah. Our old friend Lee Stone, and we're going to be in...
Yeah, I remember him, and also, you ever hear of Cleveland, Ohio?
Well, yeah, we're going to be in Cleveland in a few weeks. We're going on a little New England trip.
Okay, I'm 90 miles from Cleveland also.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, what a deal.
So you're not far from Pittsburgh then?
About 98 miles from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because we're going to drive over to Pittsburgh and see a friend of ours and drive back to Cleveland and catch a plane the next day. So we'll be wandering around up there looking at the leaves and seeing about New England with some friends of ours.
It's a beautiful country this time of the year.
That's what they say. I won't be too beautiful to me, but then what, the world doesn't turn just for me, does it? Huh? I found that out the other day.
Not for me neither, so don't feel bad.
RJ, it's a pleasure meeting you, sir. And
good talking with you.
Maybe we'll get to...
You gentlemen have a good day, then.
Hey, we enjoyed it, RJ.
Maybe we'll get to meet you in person sometime. You have a good one. We'll talk with you, RJ. Listen, be sure and listen this weekend now.
Okay, you take care.
You're going to be the guest.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll visit with you in a day or two. Well, doesn't seem like he needs us for too much, does he, huh?
Yeah, I got it. He's got it covered, sounds like.
I believe he has it pretty well wired. 70? 70 years old.
Yeah.
That's not too far away.
Won't be long, though.
No, I'll still be doing it, buddy.
I hope I will be. If I could get off these damn cigarettes alone.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know why you keep tempting the dragon.
I keep fooling with it. Today's the first day of the rest of my life.
That's good. So we've made a new pledge.
Made a new pledge.
Yeah.
I felt so bad last night. I'll tell you about it. Remind me to tell you a funny story while we're on the break that you can't repeat.
Okay.
We're going to take a little break and come back and talk about something. What are we?
I'm going to talk about that grabber thing he's talking
all
about.
Right. We'll
what
do that
good
when
for.
We come back. Don Patterson, Don Shull, and Phil Parn. We're the Blind Handymen. Music friends, here we are back with the Blind Handyman from the Little Ranch House Recording Studio on Southwood Drive. I don't think we said that, but that's where we are. We always are. Air conditioner running, keeping Phil cool.
Air conditioning in October, man,
it's amazing! It's absolutely amazing. I got everybody's mic up here. Let's see.
I think so.
I think I do.
Yep. Sounds great.
All right, we're going to talk about PVC pipe. As long as we're on that subject, and these things are called what now?
I don't really know the name. Next week, or next time we come back, I'm going to have that name because they, actually the plumber, but I had a situation, going back to our guest, RJ was talking about using these fittings in this flex tube, but I did a very serious no-no in plumbing parlances. I used PVC in the side of a wall. And you would never get a permit to do it. And, of course, I'm outside in the boonies, and I did the work myself. And so, I didn't get a permit.
Do whatever you want to do.
And running, anyway, to make a long story short, and I even had a guy that was a plumber who had not been plumbing in a while. Actually, he worked for Lowe's, and he's the one that actually did the plumbing. But I wound up with a leak in a glued fitting. And that's another story for another show about... Using, I didn't know there were that many different types of glue. Because
I thought there was just one.
Well, if you use hot water pipe, you're supposed to use a different glue. And then they got this quick set glue. But anyway, somehow I have had 3 PVC leaks in places when I know I glued it properly and I should not have. Still have one that I haven't fixed. But anyway, here this pipe is inside the wall and it's leaking.
Oh, man.
And it's right in my new shower in the pavilion. Okay. Well, there was a valve in the wall coming out of the wall. And that's where this pipe, you have one valve coming in from the left, hot water, one pipe coming in from the right, cold water, one pipe leaving out of the top that goes up to the shower head, and then there was a pipe coming out of the bottom and it had a nut on it, if you would have had a bathtub. In other words, this was the universal shower valve that you could have had a tub. In our case, we had a shower.
Okay.
Okay, I'm leaking water. and it's running in between the wall. Not bad. It's not a bad leak. It's just
any leak in the wall is a bad leak, son.
My insulation is in there. My sheetrock behind my tile is in there. I've already tiled. I've already on the other side is my brick wall. In other words, this is on an outside wall. Another no-no. Don't ever put your plumbing. But it was I had no choice, and so I called my plumber. Our friends at Loggins, and I got to tell you, Ken did a fantastic job. They treated me really good. They came out, and he said, well, why did you do PVC? And I said, Ken, don't scold me. Whatever I did it for, we got to fix it. He said, well, I got one shot at it. And there's anyone, he meant this grabber valve, and it's you force it on a piece of PVC pipe, and it's like the old lances that they used to fight wars with, or Indian arrowheads. It'll go in, but it won't come out. It has barbs on it. So you shove it on the end of a pipe, like if it's a 3/4-inch pipe, this has just enough diameter to go over the outside diameter.
Oh, to go over the outside.
And
okay.
It's made out of metal, and then it has a nut or something that you would screw it into the male. In other words, it has the female part or vice versa. It's almost like a union, an old galvanized union
that they used to use that they put hot water heaters together with,
except this one, in others on the union, you had to have both pieces fixed on ends of pipe.
So they make male and female of these.
Well, I guess I assume they did. Anyway, he put it on there. We had to cut the pipe out because he said, I just hope I have enough. And also what we were trying to do is we took the valve out. We had to take the shower valve out. We did not want to have to remove any tile. That's what we thought we would have to do. He reached in when we were dealing with a half-inch water pipe, hot water, which is even actually smaller than, hot water PVC pipes, different diameters than cold water pipes.
Yeah, it's smaller, isn't it?
It's smaller. And anyway, so this was a hot water line. We snipped it out with these clippers that RJ was talking about, which I love. They make them that go up to 2-inch pipe that you can just, instead of getting your hacksaw out or your miter saw, boy, just go up to it.
I didn't know they made them that big.
Well, I've used one. I've cut some 1¾-inch pipe.
Okay, so he cut a hole in the wall. Had to.
No. We took the valve out and we reached in right there. We did not have to remove a piece of tile. And he snipped it off. And he said, if I can just get this on there. And we did anyway, and everything is fine.
In other words, you had glued that joint. He put a thing on there that you could tighten up.
Well, in other words, I had the thing, glued, in other words, but it was glued to where, after you get PVC pipe set, you can't undo, you can't unscrew something.
So he fixed it where it was screwed, where you could screw it on.
Right, in other words, well, on the PVC pipe, there was a screwed fitting, but when you couldn't unscrew it because the PVC pipe was there glued into it, you see.
All right.
And so we had to cut that out, unscrew the plastic, put this barb thing that RJ...
This guy said you put it on the pipe and then you put a radiator hose clamp on it and tighten it up.
Well, you put a clamp... This just forces on, and then as you tighten up the threaded part, it tightens up the pipe.
It tightens it up on the pipe.
Yeah, because it's pulling. In other words, you force it on, it will go on and it won't come off.
I got your point.
And so as you tighten it, if you're screwing it into whatever you're screwing it, it's pulling on it. It's tightening. It's
and
making
that
it
solved
more
your
tight.
How did you discover you had a leak?
I'm not really sure. I'm trying to think of how I did it. Except I did not. I didn't have the finishing, the pretty chrome fittings over the. I hadn't finished out the valve. I had the valve in there, and so I turned it on one day. Or I went and water hit me in the face. Obviously, a little, just not much. And I said, my God, where's that coming from? And then I stuck my hand down in there and found wet insulation because it was leaking 24/7.
Just drops.
Yeah. And it would have never. And so I had not finished out that. In fact, that's how I found it. I was in there to put the handle on the valve.
You couldn't have put a little bit of caulk around that?
No, I've tried. That's under pressure. I've even tried that. I've got a drain.
Well, it wouldn't be under pressure if you turned it off, put the caulk, and let it dry for 3 or 4 days and turn it back on.
But that line is under pressure. Half inch with
It would be if you turned it on, yes.
Well, I mean, you've got to have it on. to use it.
Turn the water off, because you don't have a valve between the pavilion and the house?
I do, but if you turn it on and then caulk it, turn it off, and then put it back on, it's still under pressure.
Turn it off, caulk it, leave it 3 or 4 days, and then turn it back on.
That one works. Too much pressure.
Too much pressure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they make a thing for plumbers and electricians called Goop. We've talked about that
before.
Yeah,
we have.
And I've tried to use it. It'd work on a drain line. If you were leaking, I wouldn't hesitate to use Goop.
On a drain line.
Pressure,
there's no pressure on the drain
under
line.
Under pressure on a water, I've never found it to work.
All right. So Ken, he's a really nice guy.
Let me tell you, I've had to scold them a time or two. They would send their helpers out and do crappy jobs, and then he's had to come out two different times. But every time he comes out, he fixes stuff and didn't charge. Like the guy came out to do this and charged me, and so he just took off. I said, I'm not going to pay that. The guy didn't do it. He said, no, I don't blame you. And he fixed it and went away.
And he's fixed.
Yeah.
Well, there's the old bell. Finish that story just kind of rough. Let's see. So I've got your gate set too tight. Let me adjust that.
Yeah, it's time. Roll them out for another round here.
What have I done here? Let's see. Do I have your gate? Are you working?
Yeah, I'm on.
We may not be able to get off the air, folks. Stand by.
Yeah. See what happens here.
Oh, I think we can. Hang on. Be quiet. All right, everything's still working. Don't you?
Yeah.
Just checking things out here. Gotta know these things.
Before we fade away
everything's
here.
Got the phone and the cellos. And
do what?
The phone over there, your phone.
Big job here. Big job running this thing.
Yeah.
Running this stuff.
That'll
here.
Teach you to rent it out.
To rent it out. Boy, I'll never do that again. That'll not happen anymore.
Yeah.
No more studio rentals. All right. We're going to take a couple weeks off and take our New England trip on what these guys are going to do. They could call your homes and give you some advice or something. I guess not. Huh?
See what's happening here.
I'd like to thank our personal valets, Ben and Eileen Dover, for helping us. Our,
yeah.
Our sports director, Cleet Marks, for helping us out here. Don?
Lion Tamer, Claude Badley.
Claude Badley.
Yeah.
You remember him? Ben and Eileen Dover. But listen, we'll see
it's
you.
It's not fair to repeat them.
It
I
isn't.
Mean, if you don't get it on the first time.
Well, I didn't get a laugh the first time, so I thought maybe they didn't hear it. We're going to go, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. Don Patterson, thanks for coming and helping us. Donald Shaw.
Yeah.
Everybody's always good to have you. Thank you for coming. Maybe Tom Houston will be back next
maybe.
Show. Well, I'm Phil Parr, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.